Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Robert Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And we've been talking some baseball, not in the way I expected today. And I'm interested to see what my next guest has to say about this. Seth Everett, MLB insider and host of the Sports with Friends podcast. But first, Seth, how long has it been since we talked, man?
Oh, I think it's been about 5 years. How you been, my man?
I'm good. How are you?
I miss you.
Same here. You know, I really want to know your thoughts on this because you're a huge baseball fan, obviously, right? And
No. I've been a huge baseball coverage. I'm not necessarily a fan.
Well, you know what I mean. If you're covering baseball, you're in the sport.
Yeah, covered it for 26 years.
Yeah, there you go. You don't hate baseball if you've covered it for 26 years. Let's put it that way.
No, but I feel like the sport is in a major crisis, and I've said it on CBS Sports Radio before.
So. Okay, so that's what I wanted to get to because
that's what I had a feeling.
That's generally the regular season kind of talking point. You don't hear it as much in the postseason, right? And I was piggybacking off of Bob Costas in a Yankees playoff game of all teams, sort of basically calling the sport unwatchable as he's calling the game. So I did want to get your thoughts on that. Do you think that is speaking to the audience's feelings, or do you think the audience maybe doesn't share that during a playoff game?
It's a very fair point because I don't think people who have MLB Network are critical. I have numbers to back it up, and so does he. He has been on my Sports with Friends podcast, and we have discussed this. But I don't know that during the game that was the right time to say it. He is always welcome to come on. I have had episodes where I had Bob Nightingale on. I've had Jason Starks done my podcast. We've all backed up the numbers. This game has changed dramatically. It has become much less entertaining. And I think there is a legitimate crisis because younger people are not following this sport the way we did when we were growing up. I'm a little older than you, but we're basically the same age. And what I do think, and I made this point on Twitter last night. I don't know if you saw what I was tweeting, but I'm a cord cutter. I don't have cable television. And I subscribe to 21 apps on Apple TV. And I couldn't get that game last night. And I'm sorry, but if your goal is to promote the sport, if that was your goal, then you should have opened up your fancy MLB app to subscribers who don't have a cable company that has MLB Network. I thought that was a big miss, and I thought that was trending on Twitter as well last night. Then I find out this morning when I was doing my work, I found out that Costas ripped the sport during the game. What is MLB Network's goal here? what are they trying to accomplish? Because you either have people complaining about not being able to see the game, and then the people who saw the game didn't like the commentary during the game. And I will hearken back to the All-Star game because I saw this, and I wish I had screen grabbed it because I would have tweeted it 1,000 times. Did you know that during the MLB All-Star game, the word boring was trending nationally on Twitter?
I did not know that. That's not a good look.
Not a good look.
But here's the thing, Seth, because when Bob Costas is saying it, theoretically, he's a huge baseball, you know, fan or whatever word you want to use for his entire life. And that's one of the tone changes I've heard as of late, because in general, it's not like this is a new discussion, baseball being boring, but generally baseball fans have stuck up for baseball. I felt that tone change a little bit as of late with the basically two outcome strikeout home run era we're living in that has less action.
Right, and as somebody who, you know, I owe a lot to the sport because it has helped my career a lot, but what I believe is there's an evolution of this whole thing. Some people trace it to the shift, and the shift led to the creation of Launch Angle. Launch Angle has said that it is more important to have the arc in which the bat crosses the body versus the idea of making contact. When I heard launch angle over contact, I got that's a red flag. So then I asked some insiders, I talked to sources, I talked to general managers, and then I learned the stat, which was not mind-numbing, and that this is 2018 numbers. I have to do a refresh. In 2018, baseball had 11,000 less balls hit in play than 2008. And Robin, what that is that's not the old man saying, get off my lawn. That is, 2008 was not that long ago. You and I knew each other in 2008. So the theory is that how is a sport not acknowledging that it has so dramatically changed? 3 minutes and 49 seconds between balls hit and play. That's a song. You can download a song and listen to it in the time between balls hit and play. And what I try to do, and I don't do this during games, but I have been criticized by the commissioner's office because I did say I once did my taxes during a Rockies-Brewers game. I did say that when season one of Daredevil came out on Netflix, I watched one of the episodes in a press box. You can do it and still follow the game because it's that slow.
Yeah, the New York Times did a story, I think, last week about how knitting has become. There's a growing knitting community who's actually, like, sharing their camaraderie at games because they're knitting, and that keeps their I guess, mind occupied in between action at a game. So I suppose when you say all that, what can be done? Because, you know, there's always the drastic stuff, but that generally comes from the non-baseball, you know, aficionado. From, you know, a baseball, like, purist standpoint, what do you think can be done so that at least the baseball fans and then some of the casual fans can be looped in? Go ahead.
All right. I'll give you two examples because it's a much deeper answer. But I'll give you two examples. One's on the field, one's off. The on-the-field one, what I would do immediately is I would outlaw the shift. I'd put an imaginary line from the point of home plate straightaway center field. And before the pitch is thrown, the only players that could cross the line are the center fielder, the pitcher, and the catcher. I think what that would do is that would increase batting averages by 25 points. So a slugger who hits 240 now suddenly becomes a 265 hitter. It's a much more palatable thing. The other aspect is you have to find some way to get these players to be better known. You know, when we talk, and you're a big basketball guy.
Yeah.
When you hear basketball talk, you never hear you know who LeBron's friends with, you know who Kawhi likes, you know who James Harden, you know, political stance is. Like, you know all their stuff about these players. What you never hear is, boy, the third quarter of that Portland-Denver game was really slow.
Yeah.
You never hear that. And what happens is because these baseball players are anonymous, the only thing we have to feed on is the actual on-field play. And if you do that, you're exposing the warts. So find some way to make these players likable so that we're not over-scrutinizing every pitch.
Yeah, I mean, like, Mike Trout's an example. Like, Mike Trout, where would you say Mike Trout ranks in the history of baseball as one of the great players?
Okay. Well, it's hard because the numbers are skewed because everybody hits home runs and everybody throws 95 miles an hour, so Mike Trout doesn't hit sinkers. So Barry Bonds had a harder time hitting home runs than Mike Trout did. I predicted last year when Trout was hurt, you know, he's from New Jersey, and I said what they should do is get him a fancy limousine and drive him to MLB Network, since that's my favorite channel these days, and have him do a day of just hanging out on every show, and then drive him up to Connecticut and have him go on ESPN all day, just go on every show. And they didn't even try that. And what they don't do is they don't seem to make it a priority. And I have gotten into battles with the MLB Twitter account because 9 out of 10 highlights that they post are home runs. So if we're seeing this as a problem and we're acknowledging that it's something that needs to be addressed, could we at least do the favor of trying to sell the sport? What I have said on Twitter is, didn't somebody make a dive? Like, did somebody catch a ball? Something in baseball has to be going on that's entertaining that isn't just home runs.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing is they need to incentivize action. I mean, the star power thing I think is obvious. Again, Mike Trout's the best player in the sport, and I don't know how many NBA guys are more famous than him, but a lot.
I've told radio stations, come out of a break with a random Mike Trout soundbite and give a T-shirt to the first guy who can recognize his voice.
Yeah. I mean, we're walking, like, you know, I'm trying to think of what the perfect example of an NBA player who's more famous than Mike Trout that really encompasses it. But, you know, like, Spencer Dinwiddie of the Nets and Mike Trout could be walking down the street in New York, and it's probably a toss-up on who gets recognized first.
Spencer Dinwiddie is how much taller than Trout?
Yeah, sure, of course. Looking for a name that would sound more obscure than, you know, I was going to go with Andre Iguodala, but he's he's been around for a long time. Right. But the point being, he's not, you know, Steph Curry. And that's who Mike Trout is basically, as far as a player, he's Steph Curry. So you think the shift thing would incentivize the action? Because I think that's part of the – I want to see more running. I want to see more stolen bases. You know, home runs, that's the crazy part of it. Because if you had told me – you referenced 2008. If you had told me in 2008 people would say home runs are bad for the sport, I would have thought you were crazy.
Well, it's just everything is in excess. You know, one of the other aspects of the game is, you know, these advanced analytics have told you that it doesn't pay to be a pitcher. It only pays to be a thrower. And if you look at all these bullpens, look at all the playoff teams. They all have four guys in their bullpen that throw 97 to 99 miles an hour. And it's the same thing. Where I recall covering the sport, I covered the Mariners in the late 90s, and we had a guy named Jamie Moyer. And you didn't know what Jamie Moyer was going to throw. And the best thing that Jamie Moyer had going for you is the hitters had to be honest because they had to guess. These hitters today, they lock in. And if they make contact, it goes a mile. And if they don't, it's a strikeout. Now, this is going to sound like an old man joke, but it applies. You know, I had players in the 70s tell me that if you struck out, you were not allowed to utilize the services of the bat boy. Like, you had to carry your own bat back to the dugout in shame because that's the embarrassment that a strikeout represented. Now, in this era of pitch counts, if you have an 8 to 10 pitch at bat, even if the 10th pitch is a swinging strike 3, that's considered a productive strikeout. And you get high fives for that.
Yeah.
And the philosophy has changed. I don't know that outlawing the shift would change dramatically because there are numbers that will tell you that this strategy is a better strategy to win. So to that I say, but that's not entertaining. And I had a general manager who I don't want to name come up to me, look me right in the eye and say, my job is to win, not to entertain you.
Yeah, I mean, he may be right, but the job of the sport is to put an entertainment product out there, and you would hope all the people involved would share that attitude. Seth, really appreciate the conversation this morning, man. Good to talk.
Yeah, it's good to talk. Let's do it again soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.